You've reached Mara Safi. I can't come to the phone right now. Please leave me a message and I'll get back to you soon.
Hey, Mara. I haven't heard from you in a while. You still staying at Granddad's house? You haven't been returning my texts or calls, and your parents have been asking about you. I mean, I'm doing the best I can to cover, but call me back. Hey, it's me again. Still waiting on a call back from you. I've been checking your mail so it doesn't pile up. You seem to be getting a lot of postcards from Europe, from someone calling himself Cousin Oliver? That's not the Oliver Sweets, is it? Anyway, please call your mother. I can't keep lying and pretending that you're just busy or traveling or whatever. Where are you? Send me a text or an email or something. Bye.
Hey, it's Alexis. You can't keep ignoring me. I understand that you needed the time off to recuperate from your time at Crimson Hill, but it's been 2 weeks since your leave ended. Bill and I want you to come back. New things are brewing, things that could dramatically change the course of Grey Parrot Productions. We should talk. Call me.
Hi, Miss Safi. Mara, can I call you Mara? I'm Robin Gallagher, the new assistant, and I've been assigned to Untold. Bill said my first task is to track you down. He didn't say this specifically, but I'm pretty sure if I don't find you, I'm going to be fired. By the way, all your voicemail is being forwarded to me now. Not to step out of line, but a lot of people are trying to reach you. Is everything okay?
Hi, Robin. Things are most definitely not okay. I've gotten myself into something of a situation. Please, let everyone know that I'm not dead. I just can't make any outgoing calls or use the internet. I don't know how or why, but it looks like I can access my voicemail. And thank God. Please cover for me, Robin. I'll be in touch. Oh, and sorry I didn't mention this before, but this is Mara. Mara Safi.
I know this is not the voice you were expecting to hear. Trust me, I was not expecting to be it. I'm only here in the capacity of Mara Safi's assistant. As of right now, she needs a lot of assistance. We have been communicating exclusively through her voicemail that gets forwarded to me. That's how I've been piecing together this bizarre story.
I'll try to be brief. I don't know when I'm going to be cut off on this message, but I also want to start at the beginning. So consider this one of many messages to come. After what happened in Crimson Hill, my mind was going all over the place. I couldn't write, I couldn't think, I couldn't do anything. But the show was doing good. Better than good. So much so that Bill Jacobs and Alexis Morelli, the executive producers at a newly minted podcast network called Grey Parrot Productions, offered Untold a contract. They were pushing me to develop another season, and at first I thought it was a good idea. But the problem was that I was too burned out to find a new story worth telling. Then I got that call, and, Robin, it changed things. If you can't scroll back to a voicemail I got about 6 weeks ago that started it all, the caller ID should say Grave, comma, Julian.
Good afternoon, Miss Safi. My name is Julian Grave. I'm a contract private investigator, and my client believes that his situation requires someone of your proclivities. Don't know how much help a faux NPR gossip columnist can lend to my work, but Mr. Thorne is very keen on having you on the case. If you're interested, give me a call back. But don't text. I don't text.
I admit, part of the reason I jumped at the job was to show this Julian Grave that what I do was legitimate. My pride was wounded by the gossip columnist's comment. It's not like I was selling my work off as hard-hitting journalism. I was a historian. It required some delicate handling, obviously. So I called him back and I said I would enthusiastically consider the offer. But before I pitched this to Bill and Alexis, I had to make sure that it was a good fit. I had to speak to Grave in person and check out the client. I have to go, but I'll tell you about the client in my next message. Good news, Robin. I figured out how to send the voice recordings on my phone to my voicemail inbox. The message after this should be a recording of my first meeting with Julian Grave.
Just so you're aware, I am recording this conversation.
Here's the brief of the client, Mr. Thorne.
Maybe it would be best if you read some of it out loud.
You're not serious. You want me to do a dramatic reading of the brief?
Not quite, but, you know, this helps tell the story.
This is ridiculous.
That's fine. You can tell your employer that you found my terms unacceptable. Goodbye, Mr. Grave.
Sit down. I'll summarize the brief for you.
Thank you for cooperating. Go ahead.
Mr. Asher Thorne has recently moved back into his family home in Pembury, Connecticut, has found several of his items being moved around his home. Specific items that hold a lot of, sentimental meaning to them.
What does that mean? Who's moving them around?
Oh, you're gonna interrupt?
Well, yes, I'm going to clarify.
They are heirlooms that belong to Mr. Thorne's late friend, Maxwell Avon. Mr. Thorne keeps them in a safe in his office, which he locks every night. Then every morning, he wakes up to find the heirlooms in various places around the house. The dining room, the parlor, the back patio. The help swear up and down that it's not them. It's hard not to believe them. They're all sent home at the end of the day. And he sleeps with the key round his neck. Nothing's been stolen, understandably. They are not commercially valuable items.
If they're not worth stealing, then why does he sleep with a key around his neck?
He seems to be very territorial about them.
But still, that's really strange.
Yes. And recently, Mr. Thorne started having vivid, disturbing dreams about his children dying in horrible, gruesome ways.
Wait, what? I mean, that's horrible, but how is that relevant to the investigation?
I asked precisely that. Mr. Thorne seems to think that the dreams are related to the heirlooms. When pressed further, he refused to talk about it, instead asked me to recruit you.
What is it about the heirlooms that Mr. Thorne is keeping from you?
So we're on the same page. I've been wondering the same thing.
He wouldn't tell you, but maybe he'll tell me.
Well, does that mean you're going to be working for Mr. Thorne?
Well, I will have to talk to the network, and I will have conditions.
Fine, whatever. But I have to warn you, Mr. Thorne is a colorful man. His daughter's staying with him right now, and she's a handful as well.
His daughter? A victim of one of his dreams?
One of the two. Eccentric doesn't begin to describe this family. Mr. Thorne is a collector. His son Declan is a misanthrope who took off for the catacombs of Paris or wherever. He only communicates through letters. And don't get me started on Beatrix. Talk about a bimbo.
Mr. Grave, don't forget you're being recorded.
Right, thanks. Call me Julian. Not Jules, though.
Okay. And I can handle it. I'm somewhat of a specialist in complicated family dynamics.
Then you're gonna fit right in at Hollow House.
Over the next couple days, I continued to receive messages in Mara's voicemail inbox just like this one. Bits and pieces of this strange story. Yet, every time I suggested calling the police, sending help, telling our bosses, she refused for the strangest reason.
No, it's too dangerous. If you send people after me, they won't find us.
She asked me to give her some time to figure out a way out on her own. We agreed that in the meantime, I would continue to save and edit voice messages she would send, updating me of her situation, and that I would pitch it as a proxy to Bill and Alexis. The situation isn't ideal. It doesn't even make a whole lot of sense, but this is still, without a question, Untold with Mara Safi.
Story and editing by Maisha Razik. Music by Ross Bugden. Today's episode featured Emily Huffman and guest voices Leah Anderson, Tom Mizell, and Sunay Srinivas. To keep up with the show, follow @TheUntoldPod on Twitter and Instagram.